we want to make sure that when we're getting this little warning sign, it's like a yellow light before the red. When you're leaking during pregnancy, we probably know there's something up with the system that needs a little tune-up, even if you're continent when the baby comes out.
Hi, I'm Amy Kiefer, a nurse, doula, and personal trainer.
And I'm Crystal Howald, a women's health and orthopedic physical therapist.
We're the co-founders of Expecting and Empowered, and we just so happen to be sisters. We built this business because we saw a huge gap between the information that women were given during pregnancy and postpartum and the information that they need. We're committed to helping close the gap so that women are better equipped to navigate these demanding and challenging years.
Yes, we're both moms of three, so we know firsthand how many changes women go through physically, mentally, and emotionally because women aren't getting enough information to make informed decisions about their own health. It leaves mothers picking up the pieces afterwards. We need that to change.
With our professional backgrounds, we're going to pull the curtain back on this season and give you the information you need to thrive.
We're on a mission to change women's health. Let's do this.
Today, we are going to dive into a topic that we know that more women need to hear about, and that is urinary incontinence. And I don't know about you guys, but growing up, and even still today, I hear a lot of different comments on this topic. Phrases like, I can't jump on a trampoline, or just wait until you have kids. When you sneeze, you're going to have to cross your legs. Or I laughed so hard that I peed my pants. We know that this is a really sensitive topic and it can be really hard to talk about. Oftentimes, there's shame surrounding incontinence. We know that this can be really impactful on your life, not only physically, but also mentally. So today we want to open the door up to this conversation around incontinence, something that has been normalized in mom culture, but it's not something that is supposed to be normal.
Yes, incontinence is certainly common, but that doesn't mean it's normal. Leaking urine, even a small drop of urine, is not a normal body function. I see so many patients in the clinic that are in their 40s, 50s, and are still suffering from incontinence. I would love to get to a place where we're working on bladder habits and pelvic floor health before pregnancy, during pregnancy, and in those early postpartum years so that women aren't suffering years after childbirth. The good news is that there are tons of different things that we can do to work on or even prevent urinary incontinence from happening.
Absolutely. And for those that don't know, Crystal owns a physical therapy clinic. So when she refers to clinic, that's what she's talking about. So Crystal, I would love it if you first explained what is stress incontinence and how would someone know if they are experiencing it?
Yeah, stress incontinence is the leakage of any urine when you cough, laugh, sneeze, jump, change direction or speed, or project your voice that creates an excessive pressure downward that your body is unable to handle. Like I said, this could even mean a drop of urine. So I know that some women have a hard time like figuring out if it's just sweat or urine. One of the ways to figure it out is like usually even like smelling the underwear to see if there is just a different odor to it. But these moms, again, are afraid to get on a trampoline, or if they have to sprint to catch up after their little one, they're causing excessive pressure downward and they're leaking as a result.
I remember when I was doing my exercise science degree and studying the different types of incontinence. And so stress, I would remember, is like exactly how it sounds, like you're doing something and that causes the incontinence. So I think what would be really helpful is if we just started by setting a baseline of what a healthy bladder function would look like for a postpartum woman.
Sure thing. Let's get into it. One of the things that I stress to my kiddos all the time is that they just should listen to their body, because our body to our brain has this beautiful connection that lets us know that our bladder is filling up, knock, knock. We're going to have to go to the bathroom soon. But in this fast-paced society, we might have stopped listening to our body long ago. So our brain to bladder connection has gotten kind of messed up. And now our body is telling us incorrect information. Normal urination should flow easily in a steady stream until the bladder is empty. So there should be no pushing or straining to empty your bladder. I call this racehorse peeing because we all know that moms are busy. I'm so guilty of this of myself, but I'll sit down and I'll actually just like power pee so that I can get
out. I literally didn't even know to not do it until you like heard me peeing and were like, dude, relax, like slow down.
If I ever am in a bathroom, I am definitely judging the sound of the urine popping off that toilet. So like I said, it is a hard habit because even myself, as a women's health therapist, I have to constantly remind myself, okay, relax so that I'm not pushing urine out. Because when we push urine out, we're kicking on our sympathetic nervous system. And we want to just sit because that helps relax the pelvic floor. So actually sitting on the toilet and then relaxing helps kick on the parasympathetic nervous system. So this is an automated system in our body and we have enough to worry about. So we don't want to mess up any of the automatic systems in our body. Additionally, we should be only urinating 5 to 7 times a day in a 24-hour period. So that's normally 2 to 4 hours between urinating during the day. For some moms, we can get distracted with kids or suppress our own urges. Have you guys ever had people screaming at you that they need something? And then before you know it, you're like, I need to pee or I'm going to have to pee myself. So additionally, people can create this habit even before kids. If they have busy professions like nursing and teaching are really common professions that get in trouble with this because they don't take the time to pee. But what I do in the clinic is I'm like, no patient is worth messing up my own bladder. So I'll always be saying like, okay, I'm going to excuse myself and go to the bathroom or like, I'm going to go grab something and I'll go grab something and pee. So we don't want to get into these habits that mess up that brain to bladder connection. On the flip side, some women pee too often, like they're peeing every hour, every 20 minutes. I love it because every time we say this, people will be coming back at us with, I drink so much water, but we don't want to be peeing too much because again, that messes up that automatic connection. So these peers are my just because peers. So they know where like every restroom is in town, or they're going to go to Target and they are going to pee before they leave the house. So we definitely want a healthy balance of these two. Basically, it's listening to your body unless you've already messed up the system, and then we need to retrain it. So going back a little bit to the timing of peeing, because most people aren't like setting a timer between 2 to 4 hours and paying attention to that. One of the hacks that I learned in a women's health course is counting your urine stream in Mississippis. So in a normal healthy bladder, if I'm counting 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, your stream should be 12 to 15 Mississippis on a female. So if you're coming up at 9 Mississippis, you didn't wait long enough. At night, additionally, we should not have to pee at all. For nursing moms or moms with small little ones, getting up at night happens. And this can be an easy habit to get into, to just pee while you're up. But then once that baby is starting to sleep through the night, your brain has been trained to get up at night. We should not have to get up at night until we're 65 or older.
That's really interesting. I wanted to go back to something you said for a second. So with my kids, what I've done is also just like intuitively, do they have to pee? Like they can listen to their own bodies when they get to a certain age. Whereas I know some of my friends are like, everyone pee before we leave. Could you just give thoughts on that? Because what I've found is like our boys do have really great bladders and they don't have like, you know, accidents or anything. But I think that I understand why people also do that, because you don't want to get into a pickle. So I would just love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, totally. With my own kids, I never tell them to pee like because we're about to leave to go to something, just because I know how early we can adapt these habits and behaviors. And then too, they see mom peeing all the time before she has to go do something. So that becomes the norm. So we're always talking about healthy habits. So I'm always just telling them like, listen to your body. Or if we are going on a long road trip and I'm like, okay, I do want them to pee before we leave. There's like, you know, a couple small exceptions, right? If you're getting in the car for a long time and you don't want to have to keep stopping, I'll ask them if they have to go. But then if they say no, I won't push it to make them go. And then too, especially with school age kids, I'm always just stressing to them, even during school, like if the teacher is busy and if your school is busy, like you have the right to go pee. Like you have to listen to your body or poop at school, because this can be something that the pediatric PTs work a lot on, is reestablishing these healthy behaviors once they get to school age as well. So just reviewing that with your kids, because again, just like us, they're going to kind of fall into society norms or what we're teaching them. And we want to be teaching them good habits to start with.
Yeah. And like all of this is just to say, like, the more you know, the better. So no shame if you're doing that. No shame if you have to retrain your own bladder. This is just a platform where we really want to get you guys the best information, because the quality of life is related to your bladder. And like, especially later in life, if you haven't developed some good habits, that's where it can come back and make things challenging. So what you're really saying here, Crystal, is that we want to stay in tune. Like we want this process to be intuitive.
Yes. Yes. And we really just like want to respect this bladder to brain connection. And it really is simple to kind of fix it. I feel like people like are labeled like, oh, I have a small bladder, and there's only like 0.0001% of people that technically have a small bladder. Most of it is just retraining. So, you know, if you're that just because peer and you're peeing every 20 minutes or 30 minutes, you set a timer and then you try to not go until it hits that 40 minute mark. Then you gradually increase that interval. Or if you're not going enough, you literally write on your schedule, like, I'm going to pee at this break. I'm going to pee. And then even if your brain is not telling you because you've developed the habit, you go to the restroom, sit on the toilet and relax and try to pee.
Yeah. And I think we've been covering this topic for 5 years now. So we've heard it all. And also, I was a nurse. Crystal is a physical therapist. Like, we understand. I took the same approach as you in nursing. I was like, I don't have to sacrifice my personal health. So unless like a patient was actually actively crashing, like I am going to go to the bathroom, because I think that's within everyone's human rights. I do know part of the pushback we get does come from pregnant listeners. I think especially when they get towards the end of their pregnancy, they want to make sure that they're doing healthy bladder habits, but they're like, hey, Crystal, there's no chance in the world that I'm not going to pee overnight. So does the time frame for a woman that is pregnant, does that change when it comes to her pee needs?
Yeah, definitely that will change a little bit during pregnancy, but I think we often get in some of these bad habits during pregnancy. So when we get pregnant, there are pressure differences that happen. We're going to have this increase in blood volume. So we're going to have to pee a little bit more than normal. So maybe this is honestly like one extra bathroom trip during the day until we hit that third trimester. And then the bladder starts running out of space, because as the uterus grows, the bladder and the uterus are neighbors. So as that baby grows, it's going to encroach upon the bladder's ability to expand and hold urine. But often women are peeing way more than that in the early part of pregnancy. So we really want to hold on to some of these good bladder behaviors as long as we can. The other reason that I think women during pregnancy pee too much is actually they get in this pregnancy posture that is less optimal. So our, like I said, our bladder sits in front of that uterus. And if I'm arching my back or my belly is out, I know too, like in the early part of pregnancy with my first, I looked like I just like ate 5 cheeseburgers. I like wanted to look pregnant because you like couldn't tell where you were at. So you kind of like extend your belly and like show it off. You know, nowadays we wear tighter clothes sometimes in pregnancy. If you think about what people wore a long time ago, they probably weren't showing off the bump as much as we do now. So again, that puts extra pressure on our bladder because it brings that uterus more forward onto the bladder. So having great strength in our core and our back muscles and our hip and our pelvis and maintaining that pelvic neutral as long as possible will pay dividends for your bladder, for your pregnancy aches and pains, and then also recovering postpartum.
Yeah. Healthy posture seems like such a key to life because a lot of things follow it. So we definitely share information on healthy posture over on Instagram. When this episode comes out, we'll make sure to share some really good posture tips. I've loved talking about these healthy bladder tips because I think it's just such a good baseline. But what we know is that there are women out there that are already leaking urine and they're in a place where they need this information, that they want to improve their incontinence. We know that about 1/3 of women leak urine, but only about 1/12 are even willing to tell their physician that they're leaking urine.
Yeah. And I really wish that more women knew that leaking urine doesn't have to be their normal in motherhood. It's also incredibly important for physical and mental well-being that we're continent. It's one of the top 3 risk factors for developing postpartum depression. And like I said earlier, it can even start before or during pregnancy. Women that leak urine during pregnancy are 50% more likely 15 years down the road to leak urine again and be incontinent if they leak during their pregnancy. Because let's face it, as we age, there's this loss in tensile strength and everything kind of goes, you know? So we want to make sure that when we're getting this little warning sign, it's like a yellow light before the red. When you're leaking during pregnancy, we probably know there's something up with the system that needs a little tune-up, even if you're continent when the baby comes out.
Okay, so let's talk about how we get women to a better place.
So first of all, I just want to say, if you are struggling, you are not alone. The fix is so different for everybody that's leaking because it doesn't really come from one source. There are a few pieces to the puzzle that we'll kind of go over next, but opposite from what you hear, the pelvic floor is not always the problem. Yes, we need a good pelvic floor health to support our pelvic organs and to have proper bladder function, but other areas have massive contributions to the success or failure of holding urine. So let's take a deep dive into those other areas so that you can start heading in the right direction. First, if you have scar tissue or you're unable to relax the pelvic floor, we have to start here. All muscles, including the pelvic floor, need the tissue to be at the right length to operate well. Muscles love this good length tension relationship, meaning that we don't have knots or tension because of a scar, but it has to be just nice and loose so that it can contract properly when we ask for that contraction. There was a study performed with incontinent women. So what they had these people do was they actually held a bucket. The researcher dropped the brick into the bucket. The group of women that were incontinent actually had higher pelvic floor activation. So like they knew how to do their Kegel. Mm. What they did not know how to do is relax their pelvic floor. So just think about it too. Like if you're like busting your chops all day through motherhood, dude, you fatigue out at the end of the day. If you're holding tension in your pelvic floor all day because you don't have this ability to relax or connect it with the diaphragm, it's going to fatigue out. And when you want it to kick on, it's not going to do what it's supposed to do completely. So to start with relaxing, we want to pair this up with our diaphragm. So we want to inhale. We want to relax the pelvic floor. Our pelvic floor sits in side of the pelvis in between the two sit bones and the pubic and the tailbone. So we're thinking about this area. So some nice visualizations are thinking about inhaling, spreading the two sides of the sit bones apart, or like a blooming flower, like just opening up that flower, or like the claw, because we're from Wisconsin, so there's like a ton of bars here. So when you're at the bar, my kids love to play the claw machine. And so that's the releasing of, once you get that stuffed animal, let that claw release, baby, let it drop. So imagining this area just really expanding. So two, when you have scar tissue, you guys think about when you're making a bed and you just like kind of crumple up one side of the sheet. Like I like my beds like this, but I don't like my pelvic floors like this. So one side is just super tight. It doesn't let the other sides do what they're supposed to. So the pelvic floor, you need to go in and release the scar tissue. We share lots of DIY tips. Honestly, it's as easy as in the bathroom, in the shower, in the tub. You take your finger, you insert it into the vaginal opening, and we're just holding or stretching areas that have tension. So if the vaginal opening's like a clock, 12 is up towards the clitoris, 6 is down towards the rectal area. Usually that like 6, 5, 6, 7, 8 position has a lot more tension in it than up. People can tear upwards, but that's less common. So again, first steps first is we want to create length in the pelvic floor and allow it to relax. There's some more optimal positions that you can get in. A lot of these are shown in the pregnancy and postpartum guide because they're woven throughout those guides. So some examples of that are laying on your side, taking your hand and lifting your, so my hand's like inside my butt crack, I'm getting it in there. And then I'm lifting that side of my sit bone up towards the ceiling. Also, just getting into a deep squat position helps us breathe into our back and down into the backside of our pelvic floor that's often tight. Child's pose is another great one. Side lying child's pose. And again, we need to lengthen before we strengthen. So if Kegels aren't working for you, this is definitely one thing that people skip all the time.
You know, when you were talking through that, one thing that came to my mind is I've been doing our new core program inside the app that you developed. And like the way that it makes you, especially in the beginning, practice diaphragmatic breathing, it has calming music in the background. Like, I just feel like it's the perfect way for women to practice like this breathing and relaxing that you're talking about. So a plug for that, because it's really working for me right now. Crystal and I have similar personalities where when we work out, we're like on the go, we want to be like sweating and pumping. And it's like, it's just such a good program that actually really slows you down. You have no choice. Like, you are going to be deep breathing with Jacqueline in that program and Karen. So we've talked about relaxing your pelvic floor. We know that a lot of people do have some issue with that. But in that answer, you also mentioned scar tissue. I know a lot of women listening might have that. So what do you think that they should know about scar tissue and how they can start to improve it?
Yeah, I think too, we don't think about scar tissue enough, whether it's vaginally or with a C-section, how much this has an impact on our physical well-being and function. So even if you aren't leaking urine, you guys, I just worked on my pelvic floor the other week because I've had this hip pain, and this hip pain has like cut me out of running. I'm like trying to rehab my own self. And so once I finally went in and did my own scar tissue release, my hip felt completely different. So I think we only think about doing it if we have pain with sex or we have incontinence, but we really should be doing this as a baseline. Like, I love, 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 like nothing lights my fire more than like, this is like just gasoline, but preventative care during pregnancy and postpartum, everybody that's had a vaginal birth probably needs to be doing release, even if they didn't tear, even if it was a grade one tear. I had my friend from PT school. She's like, things like don't feel 100% right, but I don't have incontinence, so I'm just going to keep moving forward. I was like, I don't know if she wants to be named. So I was like, XYZ. No, you literally need to either do it yourself or you need to go in and see a women's health PT. We just give the do-it-yourself tips because we know not everybody has a resource. Mm-hmm. Everybody deserves to have health. Physical therapists, we are so comfortable treating the pelvic floor. It's just like any other muscle. And sometimes it only takes a few sessions to get you kickstarted. It's like running a race. You got to come out of the blocks really nice. So that's like a women's health PT for your pelvic floor, but then you got to run the rest of the race and you're able to run the rest of the race once you get that pelvic floor moving.
Yeah. I went to a pelvic floor PT after MAPS to work on my scar tissue. And it was just so helpful, even a couple sessions, because what's really great about physical therapists is they're really trying to like coach you and give you exercises so that you can continue making sure that things are getting better without literally having to come back to them all the time. So that's definitely something where we understand, like, it can be awkward to go to a women's health PT, but I don't think you're going to regret it. One thing that also plays a really pivotal role in pelvic floor and bladder health is pressure. So I wanted to take a minute to talk about why breath work, we've kind of alluded to it, but why breath work is so important here too.
Yes. So we want that diaphragm to pelvic floor connection. This helps us not hold our breath when we're doing things. Women will do what they need to do to get things done, right? So if you go to lift your child, you'll hold your breath, push pressure downward, just like a toothpaste bottle. If you're squeezing that, that's putting pressure down, or the toothpaste is leaking out. So we really need this proper breath to create healthy pressures in our body, because pressure always goes to the area of ease. So if our pelvic floor is the area of dysfunction, sometimes we can have too much pressure going to that area. So to accomplish that, we really want our diaphragm to kick back on. This is like the Michael Jordan of this pistoning system. I call it a pistoning system because a piston will move up and down, up and down. So as we inhale, our pelvic floor should go down and relax. As we exhale, our pelvic floor should come up, or just like the closing of that claw, or like a pee coming into your, like sucking a pee into your vagina. So the diaphragm is a pivotal player of that. And we want to use it to its capacity. Just like when Michael Jordan tried to play baseball, right? I don't know if that was his best move, right? Was he to his capacity? Probably not. So we want to make sure that diaphragm kicks back on. And that's really hard postpartum. And this is another area that's going to just throw some gasoline on my fire. But preventatively, we should really be teaching women how to do this so that they don't run into these pressure problems. Pressure problems include incontinence, diastasis recti, prolapse. So one thing that we could do at night to connect our diaphragm to our pelvic floor, this is cheating, but I love faking it till you make it, but we could put our legs on our headrest. So we're in a 90-90 position. And then you're going to put two pillows underneath your head and one underneath your shoulder blades. This helps get our body in the right position so that we're not flaring. So it really puts us in an optimal position. And then we're going to think about those cues that we used before. So breathing all the way down to the pelvic floor, fully inhaling, relaxing, and then exhaling, trying to kegel or trying to lift that pelvic floor. Most women, though, have really wimpy exhales. So they, like, if you're in a car and you're like trying to put on the brakes, you know, when you just like tap on the brakes and it's like barely does anything, that's how women exhale. We want to like slowly put on the brakes so that we're not wearing out our brake pads, like a long extended exhale from the bottom up. That helps us regulate pressure so nicely if we can connect these two areas.
Okay, so we have talked about so far relaxing our pelvic floors. We're stretching tissue if we've had any tears. Now we're working on diaphragmatic breathing. Is there anything else that can be done to reduce any leakage of urine?
Yes. Another big puzzle piece is our posture. During pregnancy, women will tuck their butts underneath them. So this is when people kind of lose their bottom by pressing their pelvis forward and they drive their ribs backwards, but their like back is a little bit rounded or in that hunched position. So I've seen so many mamas in the clinic that are postpartum, but they're like kind of stuck in these postures. You can have lots of different postures postpartum, but this is just a really common one. And so what we really want to focus on is stacking our ribs over our hips. So one way to think about this is if you had a high pony in, it's like yoga, you're like trying to just create space. So I'm like from the crown of my head, I'm lifting or I'm creating space in my spine. The next step is I want my ribs to be on top of my hips, stacked like two baby blocks. So what I mean by that is often if you're in that position where the ribs are backwards, you're just driving your ribs forward. And then I like to use my pinky and my thumb like cowabunga, like in California, surf's up dude. And I'm going to put my thumb on those bottom ribs. And then I'm going to press my pinky on my hips. Do these two line up? If your cowabunga symbol is all crooked, the answer is no. But if your cowabunga symbol is straight vertical, gnarly dude.
Oh my gosh.
I hope you're going to relax your shoulders and belly.
Okay. So posture is so important. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but to piggyback off something that goes with posture, like let's talk about strength training for a minute, because I think the thing that women don't realize when they're about to become a mother is how truly physical it is and how much the activities of mothering can impact your pelvic floor health. So how does physical strength play into this puzzle?
It's huge, you guys. The pelvic floor does not function in isolation. It functions with all other areas of our body. So one thing that we thought about when we're developing the postpartum guide is like, where do we start first? We work on the core and then you start working out from there. Our body works in all these diagonals. So for example, a lot of women that leak urine are totally missing one side of their oblique to their groin muscle does not have like great strength. So that creates force over your pelvic floor, right? Because if you connect those dots from the side of our ribs, our obliques, to the inside of the other groin, when you cross that over, those two sides make a big X. If we're strong here, we have nice contraction. This helps our pelvic floor activate. So again, too, the other big piece of strength training is if you don't have strength to do all the tasks of mothering, lifting the strollers, carrying a toddler, breastfeeding a newborn, all these things, we're just going to hold our breath and press more pressure down on our pelvic floor. And Lord knows that that pelvic floor has already had enough to deal with. So can we help the girl out a little bit? This is where strength training can be so pivotal. Additionally, in the pelvic health world, we love to say that the pelvis and our hip strength mirrors each other. So you got some weak hips, you got those tight IT bands. Oh, you're talking about your hip flexors needing to be stretched out. Odds are your pelvic floor is not playing nice with that area and has some dysfunction too.
And the thing with covering topics like this is like, we understand it can be really confusing and overwhelming to care for your pelvic floor, especially if you have a baby at home, like we get it. But we built our app and our program so that you really have a framework so that you can take care of your pelvic floor just with the click of a button. You don't have to be Googling or Instagramming pelvic floor workouts. It's all done for you. It incorporates breath work, contracting and relaxing your pelvic floor, and strength training, which can also help with your posture.
Yes. We really designed our program to take all of the guesswork out of it. So you just have to hit the play button on your workout and your body can take care of the rest. Additionally, you guys, we love to give you information and we know this area needs more attention. So we have created a free resource, a little freebie that has all of these things listed out and a little habit tracker so that if you just really focus on this area for 4 weeks, you can reclaim your continence, your life back. And you will just see how much that physically and mentally and emotionally. So that is a great supplement if you're not already doing the app, but really just want everybody to have access to this information.
Yeah, I know it was a game changer for me. Like I had a frequency issue and like just being mindful of it and spreading out your pee. Like I feel like people would almost be surprised at how quickly it can improve. And we know that incontinence can be really frustrating. So we're really hoping that the tips that we shared today, along with the freebie that Crystal just mentioned, which will be in the show notes, really starts to turn things in the right direction. So as always, if you liked today's episode, please be sure to rate and subscribe to our podcast. We can't wait to talk to you the next time.